This is Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, it's Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown, Mike Somich back in the saddle here. Both gone last weekend doing things around this great country of ours.
Yeah, I had a good weekend. I don't know about how was your weekend?
It was, you know, interesting. Wasn't a pleasant reason that I was gone, but yeah, you know, it was it was amongst friends, and so, you know, yeah, good stuff.
I was up until 4:40 in the morning last Saturday night. The latest I have been up in probably 6 years, 7 years?
6 weeks since you were here last.
since
6 weeks before that.
I mean, it was Derby night was late, but we did get to sleep before 4:40 on Derby night.
Look at that. Yeah, it's good times for sure, and glad to have you here on the desk with me as we get back rolling here. The dog days are upon us. We are done with hockey. We are done with basketball. And so baseball, MMA, we'll certainly talk. We're talking to UFC tonight. We have that. So we will, of course, talk about that throughout the course of the show. Horse racing is year-round.
It is.
Worldwide.
Massive day at Churchill today. We got a couple.
Massive day. Y'all hear this? This is the reason you stay in your car right now.
Well, we do. We got the Stephen F. Foster over at Churchill Downs. We've got four graded steaks.
The Kentucky Fried
day.
Chicken. The whole nine
yards. They should name one. Yeah. Kentucky Fried. I'm surprised KFC hasn't gotten in there because they actually can't say Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Really?
Yeah, it's not actually chicken. So they cannot say Kentucky Fried Chicken. That's why it's just KFC now.
Oh, look at that fun fact for you out there. Right at the top of the show, fun fact for you. Another thing right here at the top of the show is a game first pitch coming to you here in about 4 minutes. We got the A's and the Yankees, J.P. Sears, Clark Schmidt going at it here in this one, Mike. This is if anyone that is a fan of this show well knows, the calendar gets marked anytime it is a Sears start for the A's. This is currently out to, let's see the market high out there, -305 is the market high in favor of the Yankees. If you do want the dog, you can find a +240 out there.
Yeah, that you can find the +240 number out there if you want the dog. I don't. I do celebrate J.P. Sears Day, yeah. But I don't know if you've seen this. Yankees have gone under 15 straight games.
So this is coincided with a little bit of an Aaron Judge slump with that.
And not
so let
shockingly.
You know, yeah, just how ridiculously important he is to that lineup, because, you know, we were joking. You and I mentioned it. We knew he was never going to hit 400, but we thought, hey, this OBP could end up being historically high because he takes walks.
Yes, he'll at least walk. He'll get on base. He sets the table for everybody else.
The last 2 weeks, though.
Table's not been set. Yeah. They're forgetting the salt one day. You know, the pepper shaker's not showing up another. I like the first five under here. I trust Sears to be able to at least slow down this lineup based on the way the Yankees have been hitting. And the A's haven't scored in 2 days. Mm-hmm. The frisky A's are no longer frisky. They're a team that I like to play unders here. You can get under five right now, a +100 in the first five. You can get under 4.5 at a little bit bigger of a plus money price. I took the under five, +100 first five here.
Yeah, the other thing that's gone on and that kind of really plays into what you're trying to do here. So Soderstrom for the A's that started out super hot. He's been ice cold. Goldschmidt for the Yankees started out super hot.
Not great.
Just gone ice cold. He's going to end up losing playing time because he's been so bad against righties. Like, I mean, like, this is just, it is getting to one of those things where you look and you go, oh, okay. Even though we have these pitchers in which you're not jumping up and down about, you just look at this lineup and how they performed lately, and that gets us to the bet.
Yeah, it does. And it's one that we've seen over money come in because of the streak that we've talked about with the Yankees. People are now trying to start finding ways to fade that. But this isn't the time in my mind to fade it, because I'm much more scared of the Yankees lineup when I'm playing the under five here, first five. But I like J.P. Sears more on the mound than I do the pitcher we've got for the Yankees today. So I'm willing to take a shot here, see if we can get this under first five home. It could get squirrely, but the fact that it's five, it makes me feel a little bit
of push equity.
Five, that's a run an inning for two teams that have not been able to score. I'm willing to take a shot here. Give me the under first five runs.
Then we got the Twins and the Tigers. This is Ober versus Mize. You can find one, if you want to play the favorite, you can find 160 out there at the National Books in favor of the Tigers, and you can get about a +136 return on the Twins. If you want to play the dog, this is a flat nine out there in the total. you know, you guys have heard us talk a lot about Casey Mize. If you've been listening to the show, he is a dude that came in with a ton of hype when he was coming up through the minors, and then mixed results, you could say, in the majors so far. That said, you do have surface stats of 288 and 124 whip for him. That said, you go out to the advanced stats. It's not terrible, but no. I mean, just saying, you know, 391 xFIP, a 392 Sierra, 329 xERA. So, you know, a little bit worse, but I think by and large, because again, a look at 391 in today's baseball, 391. I mean, you know, that's fine. Mize is a solid starting pitcher.
He is a solid starting pitcher, and he gets even better at home. This year, he's 4-0 at home with a 1.84 WHIP. He is 3-2 on the road with a 3.59 ERA. So the ERA at home with 1.84 and on the road 3.59. You can see the delta there. A lot of it to do with walks. He's not walking people at home. He's not giving up home runs up in Detroit. I like this. I don't like Ober. Mm-hmm. Ober is a starter that I want to try and fade when I'm looking at the Twins here. And you can look at the first five and you can get a decent number here on the Tigers. So mm-hmm. I found search around. There's a minus 120 half run. You can get a minus 105 first five minus a half run for the Tigers. That was over at Caesars. So I played Tigers first five minus the half run. I'm willing to take Mize at home when I think we've got a weaker pitcher in Ober. And this Twins lineup, it's not great either. I mean, neither lineup is great, but I don't think there's a big, vast cavern between the Twins and the Tigers lineups.
And I think what we've seen so far this season from Mize, if you really just look and why his success has been a little bit better, you go back to last year and Mike, his home run to fly ball rate was 10.9%, but he was giving up 29.6% fly balls. His home run to fly ball rate this season, 11%. So 1/10 of a percentage higher, but it's 41.7% fly balls. So what happens when those balls don't leave the yard? They just fall in someone's glove. That's the whole thing about all this. It's like, if you can increase the fly ball rate, so long as you're not giving up the home runs to go along with it, it's going to increase your stats. It's going to make your stats better, because if it doesn't leave the yard, it's falling in someone's glove.
Yeah. And the home run has been a big problem for him on the road. He's given up seven on the road, just three at home. Yeah. And so we've seen him have success in this ballpark, being able to keep the ball in the park. And again, this isn't a Twins lineup where I'm worried about a bunch of guys being able to go yard on Mize. It's a lineup that is, if they are able to get the ball moving and get runners on base, it's more of the single, double. You see them be able to manufacture runs versus just take it out of the park. And so I like Mize today against this Twins lineup. I think the Tigers are able to at least scrape one or two across in the first five here. So we'll lay the half run first five of the Tigers.
If you're a fan of pitching, you had something to be excited about yesterday. Nick Martinez took a no hitter into the ninth inning that was broken up in the top of the ninth. Like we see so incredibly often, we see it just happen all the time for whatever reason. You know, you've got a no hitter going. The dudes at the plate know they're like now no longer trying to hit a home run. They're just slap one just to break up the no hitter. You know, we see it so often. Does get broken up there in the ninth, but maybe even more impressive is the Sonny Gray performance from yesterday, in which he goes 89 pitches, complete game, gives up one hit, 11 Ks, and still doesn't reach 90 pitches.
It's very efficient. To be able to strike out 11 and not throw 90 pitches is impressive from Sonny Gray. He was awesome yesterday. He's had flashes this year, too, where he has been a very, very good pitcher. On the Martinez front, want to give a golf clap here to the manager for the Reds, who put him back out there when he was over 100 pitches going into the ninth. He threw 112 pitches yesterday, had the opportunity to get a real no-hitter, since it's not one of these bullpen group no hitters that we've had. So I appreciate he at least got the opportunity to go out there. 6 Ks, 2 walks, 112 pitches for the day for Martinez.
It's not a don't look now moment, but it is one of those things where you look at the Central and Cubs are only 2 games up on the Brewers, who are absolutely red hot. Only 3.5 up on the Cardinals and only 5 up on those Reds. You know, like we thought that Reds bet that we had at the beginning of the season was dead. And I'm not saying it's live, but you're only 5 games back. We're only halfway through the season. And you look at this Cubs team and it's not quite performing like it was at the beginning. I don't think that they are definitely the shoe-in to win the Central.
So you're telling me there's a chance. Yeah. Like that's all we're looking for at this point, right? And like even right now, we just had the division odds up there. 15-1 on the Reds to win the division. Meh.
Yeah.
I mean, there is not a awesome team inside this division. The Cubs lineup specifically had the opportunity to be that, and they overperformed early in the year, and maybe they're able to get that going again, because I do like the Cubs lineup a lot more with Tucker inserted. I think it really helps Suzuki and Crow Armstrong be able to hit in more comfortable positions for them. But at the same time, like if this Reds pitching staff can ever figure itself out,
yeah,
they've got the best staff in this division. It's just a question of, are we ever going to see, you know, Lodolo and Hunter Green be able to perform to the level that Abbott's performing? We'll talk about him a little bit later in the show.
Noelvi Marte is in on his rehab assignment right now, so he's going to his bat will be back in that lineup here pretty soon. I mean, it is a team.
McCain hasn't hit like we expected him to hit yet this year.
He would at least. He can't be this bad.
No, that's the thing is that there's, you could still look at the Reds and be like, I see the upside.
Definitely.
There's some upside.
We got a Shohei start today. I'm sure you're asking yourself the question that a lot of people are, is just how long is he going to go? He said through an interpreter that they are really just trying to ramp up and build things up. What you got to remember with Shohei, guys, is he didn't go out on any sort of rehab assignment because then he would have had to take his, you have to take his bat out of the lineup, you know,
like, don't want to do that.
You can't send him to AAA rehab assignments whenever like you need his bat at the top of the lineup. So these are all just kind of little mini rehab assignments for him. I don't think we see him anytime soon getting any sort of real workload. I would imagine 30, 35 pitches would be the absolute very max.
Yeah, we saw one inning in both appearances. He threw 28 pitches in the first appearance, 18 in the second appearance. I would guess we're going to shoot for that 30, 35 mark today, maybe 40. I think we see two innings of Shohei. Very tough guy to play K-props on right now because it's just so...
His stuff's so good that he could get there.
Right, but you have no clue. Yeah. If it's one inning, if it's two innings, and if it's one inning, you're sitting in a 1.5 K-prop. I mean, it doesn't matter how good your stuff is. You got to be lights out to be able to get there.
Yeah. So for me, Kasperius, by the way, is going to be the bulk guy for them. He's been very, very good for them. They're about 165 favorites in that game. Might be value. And I think people are like, Shohei's only going to go one inning, so we're not going to give you a price here on this one. But Mike, Kasperius has been really good. So maybe there is a little bit of value there on that one. We'll see. Maybe Colby Marcio's targeting that game. We'll see what he's got going on when we come back here on Ready, Set, Bet.
Welcome back to Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown and Mike Somich coming to you here on a Saturday. We will roll along. We don't need basketball and hockey to make great content, Mike. We are here to tell you about every single thing that's going on. You said, hell, there's races going on right now.
Yeah, we got
Belmont, whatever.
Belmont at the Big
Horses,
A.
Horses. Oh, that's right, because Belmont's closed.
We got 1 minute to Churchill. I give out a play, but my horse got hammered. 10-1 on the morning line is going to go off at 6-5.
Real, you know what? He woke up and he did an interview. He told people, he was like, you know what? I'm feeling good today.
Are you going to lose today?
Yeah, he's like, nah. It's like, absolutely not going to town anyway. Let's hope your horse runs fast and all that. Maybe let's hope some of these guys get home, hit home runs, get total base, whatever it might be. Joining us here like he does every single Saturday, Colby Marcio, Colby M. Betts over on the Twitter machine, betting news. Colby, how you doing, buddy?
Fantastic. Hope you guys are doing well as well.
I mean, this is worth, again, you know, this is, we talk about the VSiN Pro subscription, why you want to get the video feed. If you're watching us on YouTube TV, this is the reason why right now, if you look and you see, not only is it such a spectacular mustache, but it is so incredibly groomed. Yeah. Like it is, you can tell that this is something he prides himself on. Do you have mustache oil? You're one of those, you're a mustache oil guy, right?
I don't. It's so funny. You guys have no idea how often I get the little baby scissors out to trim it. Cause my whole day is me licking my upper lip, making sure I didn't miss single hair that is a little bit longer than the rest. Maybe I have OCD. Maybe I just want this thing to be absolutely perfect for you guys to tell me. See, I knew what you were setting up to say. That's why I was laughing before you even got there. Because it's just so funny getting these. First of all, only the fellas compliment it, it's the only thing that matters. As long as you guys know it's spectacular, it's all that matters. But I always appreciate it. I love the nicknames. I like when someone else has one I've never heard. And the ones that I've really liked, I can't say on air. So maybe I'll tell you another time.
One more mustache question here before we get to baseball. How many times have you gone as Mario or Luigi for Halloween? Because it feels like that is just like.
Never.
Right up the alley.
Never. That's a layup. Yeah. Never. Never.
Wow.
I'm very anti-Halloween costume.
Okay.
I'm really lazy when it comes to Halloween. I think it's really, this is my opinion. So if you're a diehard Halloween fan, do whatever you want. I think it's really silly to go out and spend a ton of money on something you'll wear for 3 hours.
Could he be Colby Mustachio?
I mean,
Colby
there are a lot of mustachio. Yeah, there's a lot of
mustachio. Like, okay, we're gonna have a good one for you, Matt. We'll workshop this.
Don't worry.
Yeah, this will be something. Trust me. Me and Mike will be texting back.
You guys
and forth.
Will be crossing them out while I'm talking player
next week. But all right, let's get to the first one here on the list. And Kyle Riley just continues to get it done.
Yes. And I love him today. I think it's a spectacular spot to back him. We're getting plus 110 on the bases, which I'm starting to think that anytime you see him at plus money on his basis prop at 1.5, at least, that it's almost an automatic go. You have to start respecting Cal a little bit more, like I respect Shohei and Judge. And typically when I see Shohei or Judge at priced at plus money for the bases, it's an automatic go. Am I saying he's at that level? No, but he's having an amazing season, an MVP-type season, and he's better on the road. 291 batting average, 684 slugging percentage, 1092 OPS. On the road in 27 elite rating, 77% of the time records a hit, 59% of the time goes over his bases prop, and 40% goes over the home run at a half. That's an insane trend that I want to be a part of today while he takes on Mr. Rocker of the Rangers, who has a poor current season rating on batter siphon box, poor WOBA, ISO hard contact percentage, and K percentage, giving up 42% hard contact. All of his pitches are below league average, all of them. And Cal murders every single one of them. Lefties are batting almost 400 against him with a 581 slugging percentage and a 1016 OPS. It's 100% a big dumper day, which I want to say one thing. We need to tone it down with mentioning his nickname. I know everyone found out who he was this year. He's been the big dumper for quite some time. Can we stop beating that horse to death? It's a good nickname. Let's not ruin it.
Yeah, it is a good nickname, but it wears off a little bit and takes some of the glow off of it when nine times a broadcast, like, he's exclusively referenced as the big dumper. Like, they don't even have a name. Yeah, it's like they don't even say his name. And just everything is just the dumper. Here comes the dumper.
I'm going the other way.
More dumper?
Use it, man.
More dumper?
When someone's okay with being called the big dumper, you got to take the chance to just call him the big dumper.
Just any given opportunity. All right. Well,
I mean, you know,
we can have different opportunities. We don't have to agree on everything, Mike. It's fine.
I mean, I didn't even know his nickname was the big dumper till a couple weeks ago.
Well, then maybe that's why. It's still too fresh for him, Colby. That's what's going on. It's still too fresh
for him. I'm not dumped out yet.
Hey, let's give you one more month and like we'll see, you know. After he does the home run derby, and they're literally just going to be like, big dumper, oh, that's a big dumper.
He took a dump
We're going to hear it 9,000 times on the home run derby, and then you're going to be like, okay, you guys.
Yeah, then I'm good. Yeah, you're right. Maybe it's just too new for me, a little too fresh still. One thing that is not fresh is this Rockies starting pitching staff. So when I looked at your props here, and you're taking the Brewers over 2.5, and I realized who was on the mound, I was not very surprised. So talk a little about the Brewers team total first half here, 2.5.
Yeah, the first five team total over 2.5, minus 130. I think it's a great price. I would take it up to 140. That would be the ceiling for me. I've started a system where I'm going to have to fade Sanzatella anytime he's out there. And since I've started this trend, or this system play, excuse me, I've yet to win a bet. So maybe today's the day it turns around, because he's had back-to-back good starts. So I'm not saying, for the people out there listening, I'm not saying go and do the team total every single time Sensatella's out there. Whatever is the best value. If it's the first five money line, if it's the first five run line, take the value, because Sensatella is terrible, and be comfortable with losing. The more starts he has that are quality in his book, the longer he stays on the team and doesn't get DFA'd. So I can live with losing. The Brewers are seventh in first five scoring this season, the second best offense in the last 14 days, third best last 7 days. They have four elite rated hitters according to batter's hyphen box today. Back-to-back good starts, like I mentioned with Sanzatella, the fourth worst pitcher on the day, has a poor average hitter matchup, WOBA, ISO, hard contact, and K percentage. He's a big ground ball guy, but I'm not worried about that. He's allowing 41% hard contact on the road, almost a 6 ERA. Batters are almost batting 400. He allows almost 8 hits a game, 3.2 runs per road start. You got to fade him, and you got to at least tip your cap and applaud him when he has a good game and when he tops off at 92 at the bump. It's comical. And the Brewers are on fire, and I was shocked it was 2.5 at home.
Talking to Colby Mustachio from Betting News. Colby, back in the lineup and hitting third for the Jays is Vlad Jr. going up against Lucas Giolito here.
Oh yeah, we have to take his bases. We have to take his bases, and you could pay it. I got -109 on his 1.5. -110 is fine as well. And his home run at 420. He's having a great June. This is his best month of the season so far on the road. He's fantastic. 301 batting average, almost an 8 OPS. 20 elite road ratings, has a 75% hit rate, 35% two hits, 60% over on the bases, has gone over in 8 of his last 10 road elite ratings. Those are just fantastic trends. And Giolito's terrible. Poor rating, poor average hitter matchup, ISO and K percentage. Struggling at home with a 7.66 ERA. Opponents are batting 3.76. 3 of his main pitches are below league average. That's 96% of his pitching. 96% of his pitches are below league average. And I saw a clip of him the other day as someone complimenting his change ball. It's below league average. There's nothing special about his changeup. Excuse me. Right-handed hitters are batting 317 with a 475 slugging percentage, 847 OPS. And Vladdy is destroying his entire arsenal all season long. And I think it's a great day to back Vladdy, even though it's at -110.
We got the big mustache. We got to come up with a big dumper one. For mustache. Yeah. We'll work on it. We'll keep shopping it.
The big duster.
There we go. That's kind of nice. I like the big duster. Later tonight, we've got the Angels who are going to head to the Diamond. And you like Mike Trout here, someone who I know, my boy on the desk, has been took the overseason's home run total.
Yes. Yes.
You're at 12.
I'm okay with him to hit 9 tonight.
Yeah, maybe we can get another night. Why do you like Mike Trout?
Yeah, love Mike Trout today. He's typically a guy I don't like betting on. He doesn't have great trends when he lead. I'm not even going to rattle him off, but he is even money today on the bases, +300 on the home run. 3 straight games with a single. I think he's due for a big game. I mean, we're due for nothing, but I can hope for the best. And he's going up against Mike Soroka, which is the best part, their best time to say he's due, who's allowing 4.4 hits a game, 2.2 extra base hits per start. He has basically a 6 road ERA. 53% of his pitches are below league average. His best pitch is his curveball, which he throws 36% of the time. And Trout this season against curveballs is a 286 average, 1429 OPS, and a 307 WRC plus. Mike Trout has been feasting on his entire arsenal this year, and I want to be on him tonight. And I think he homers.
He is Colby Marcio. Find his work over at Betting News at Colby M. Betts over on the Twitter machine. Buddy, do appreciate the time and good luck today.
Of course. Thank you. Have a good one, guys.
Guys, a new sports betting market in town is called Xcutta, Xcutta. It's a sports Calcutta combining the adrenaline of live auctions and the strategy of sports prognostication. Create your own Xcutta auctions for you and your crew for any sport or sporting event, football, baseball, basketball, tennis, golf, Super Bowl, World Series, March Madness, Wimbledon, even your own local golf tournament. Create your own private or public auctions. Create secondary markets for aftermarket buying and selling. Over 1,000 teams, player, and drivers in the database with the ability for you to add more. Free practice auctions are running now daily at 3, 6, and 9 p.m. over at xcutta.com. And for a 3-month free bidding subscription, email support at xcutta.com and mention VSIN, V-S-I-N for that. Again, xcutta.com, the future of futures wagering.
Welcome back to Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN. Matt Brown and Mike Somich coming to you here on a Saturday, channel 158 over on SiriusXM, YouTube TV, our very own VSiN Watch app, and terrestrial stations across this great country of ours. Thank you for hanging around. We have a lot of horse racing picks throughout the course of the day. You know what? We're just going to go ahead and we'll sprinkle in a couple segments here and there as, you know, things that are coming up. So if you do want to bet along with Mike, go ahead, sign up now so that whenever we're doing all of this, you'll already have an account and you'll have it funded. First Bet is where we'd like you to go and get you an account right now. Firstbet.com, 1STBET.com. Go in, use the promo code VSIN200. And when you do, you can get 20% rebate for your first 60 days up to $200. And again, we talk about the different things that this really brings to the table, which is not only do you make your bets and you get the instant gratification, but you can sit there and watch a lot of these races right there in the app as well, which is super convenient. You're sitting there at the kids' soccer game and you're just like, you know what? What are you doing over there, honey? And you're like, I'm on an important call, you know, all right? I'm on an important Zoom with the team right now. And it's like, no, you're watching a horse race in your bay, but it's fine. You pull that up. Again, VSIN200 is your promo code. Go in, first 20% rebate first 60 days up to $200.
And the beauty of that is that each race is like a minute and a half, two minutes.
You just pop right off of there and you'd be like, it's fine. Yeah. They just needed to check in with me.
And then you don't check in again for another 30 minutes when the next one comes up and you don't get in trouble.
Yeah. You're just like, what?
Very easy to pull off.
There's things happening. Okay. I'm an important person.
If anyone wants a little quick action here, 6 minutes to post here, Belmont and the Big A. This was not one of the pony up picks, but we'll just throw a little sprinkle in there. Like Matt said, we've got Belmont at the Big A and Churchill Downs going all morning. So we'll talk about some of these races. They come up. I like the number 5 horse, Catch a Wave. 2-1 right now on the betting board. The number 1, Mutaweed, is taking a bunch of money with 6-1 on the morning line down to 7-2. I think 2-1 is a very playable price on the 5, Catch a Wave, who is by far the best horse in this field. But he likes to come from off the pace. That's the big concern here, that the 2 possibly goes gate to wire. So give me the 5, Catch a Wave, 2-1, Belmont, the Big A, race number 2.
There you go. Look at that. We'll get some more picks here in just a second. There is a golf tournament that is going on. And, you know, we do this disclaimer all the time. We've done it here on this show. We do it on Long Shots as well, anywhere your podcasts are found. Me, Wes Reynolds, Kelly Bidlin. Every single golfer on the PGA Tour, actually every single golfer on the PGA Tour and the Korn Ferry Tour, is the best golfer you've ever seen in your life. Like, if they were playing at your club, if you walked out on there, they would destroy your club. And then two, you would be like, that's the best golfer I've ever seen in my life. So really the courses are what separates these golfers. No better evidence of this than the current tournament going on right now, the Rocket Classic. Don't call it the Rocket Mortgage Classic. They're rebranding. They just want to be known as Rocket now. No, it's no longer Rocket Mortgage. They're going to have other branches.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're going with that. It's at the Detroit Golf Club, and it is, we knew going in that it was going to be a birdie fest. Well, right now, you know, you're looking at this leaderboard. Ryan Gerard, who, by the way, I have a ticket on. It won't last. He's already through 9 holes, but he is tied for first with Chris Kirk, Philip Knowles, and Andrew Putnam at 14 under through 2 rounds.
Well, 2.5 for him.
Like, 14 under.
They're cutting this course up.
Through 2 rounds. Chandler Phillips is 7 under already in the clubhouse. He's at 13 under, as is Chris Goddard, who is 7 under in the clubhouse on the day at 13 under. Cameron Champ, 6 under in the clubhouse on the day, 13 under. Sammy Valamaki has a couple holes left. He's at 13 under. Davis Thompson, Chan Kim, Matt Fitzpatrick, Chad Ramey, Jackson Suber. That is just the list at 13 under. Very much in this, given how this course is giving it up. At 12 and 11, Matthew Rydell, Peter Malnati, Emiliano Grillo, Nikolai Højgaard, Nico Echeverria, Colin Morikawa, Thurston Lawrence, Luke Clanton, Aldrich Potgieter, Mark Hubbard, Michael Chorbornson. You get the point. That's just the 12. So we haven't even got to the 11s yet.
Well, I mean, the best way to put it is the cut was 6 under, I believe.
Yeah.
The cut line was 6 under.
Yeah. I mean, so they are just, again, it is the courses that separates these dudes. And like, you get them on an easy course where, by the way, Mike, not only can you bomb away at this course, but when you miss, like the rough's literally like an inch and a quarter. Yeah. So it's just like no penalty whatsoever to these dudes. So they are just destroying this. It's impossible for me to tell you a real true betting strategy on this tournament other than go and find a price that you like on someone and bet it and cross your fingers. Because like we said, Chandler Phillips went 7 under today.
Well, and there's no
Chris Goddard went 7 under today. Cam Champ went 7 under today.
No Scotty.
Right.
Which also means that right now on the live leaderboard, 6-1 is your favorite.
Yeah.
So you can get prices still if you want to. I don't have a bet. Mm-hmm. Kind of like a little sprinkle.
Yeah.
How about a little Aldrich Potgieter?
Oh, you want to bet on the youngster, eh?
18-1.
Yeah, the little young kid.
Kid can go low.
I mean, he definitely can. I mean, so he's your absolute definition of this is the type of course for this player,
which
is
just catch a heater.
Bombs it off the tee. He destroys the ball off the tee. It's not incredibly accurate all the time, but it doesn't really matter. You know, you could go there. I mean, me, I would just go with someone maybe a tiny bit more pedigreed in all of that. But I mean, you know,
can I bet my boy Ben Griffin?
You could bet Ben Griffin. I have Harry Hall. I have Jake Knapp. They're both at 11 under. They just teed off. So they have plenty of time to do, some stuff. You got Chorbornson, Hubbard, and Potgieter that you just mentioned have all not teed off yet either. So just remember that as well. Whenever you're looking at it,
I'm like, he's 12 under. He hasn't teed off. So he's two back and he's in 14th. That's how crowded this top of the leaderboard is, but only two back. And you still got all the round. Like,
Morikawa,
by the way, second choice right now. He's through 5, 1 under at 12 under. Right.
The obvious play too is if you just won a lottery ticket, because Philip Knowles is not pedigreed at all and whatever. And he's literally tied for the lead and he's 40-1 and he hadn't teed off yet. So, I mean, like, if he can just put together two more rounds, he's gone 66-64.
Is he really 40-1?
Yeah. So, again, it's like one of those things where in a tournament in which everybody's getting the course, is it crazy to think that Philip Knowles just could do it four rounds in a row?
Yeah, yeah. No,
it's not at all. Yeah. It's not in the least bit. So that's maybe where we would go. We said we were done with hockey. Yeah. So no more.
Tears.
No, I mean,
at least we cashed the 30-1 on, yes, Sam Bennett.
Yeah.
Stanley Cup MVP.
And good for him. He got some monies.
He got a lot of monies.
He got some monies.
Yeah, so 8 years of monies.
Good on him. But guess what? We can always head to the track.
Saddle up, partner. Want to bet the horses with Mike Somich?
When I bet on horses, I never lose. Why? I bet on all the horses.
It's time to pony up.
Giddy up.
We are going to head to Churchill Downs, in which Mike Somich told me before we even started the show today that there was a great card over there.
Yeah, loaded card. We've got fast and firm, so we're on the turf, no weather issues, something that we have finally avoided. That's been a problem all year.
Fast and firm.
Look at that. Look at that. Four graded stakes races, six stakes races in total, and we're setting up for a massive pool in the pick six tomorrow because it's going to be a mandatory payout. We talked about this last week. We'll talk about Churchill Downs mandatory pick six payout tomorrow, going to be close to $10 million in that pool. Let's start with race.
Oh, we got to hold on. So I need to load up my account then.
Yes, be ready. Be ready. And I will have it fully handicapped. We can do a group ticket together.
Yeah, I mean, I have to load up. I got to load up.
Got to do. So tomorrow, there's also a mandatory payout Gulfstream tomorrow, and there's a pick five carryover at Los Alamitos today. On top of everything else that's going on.
I don't even know what you said, and I'm in.
Horse racing delivers,
I don't even know what you said, and I'm in. Yeah, sounds great.
It does.
Yeah.
It does sound great.
Yeah, take it.
Yes, take all my money. Exactly. All right. Churchill Downs, race number 9. This is a 6.5 furlong sprint. The Kelly's Landing Stakes. Give me the number 1, Dr. Venkman here, 5-2 on the morning line. Your favorite is going to be the number 3, Booth. He is 2-1 on the morning line. He will probably go off at 4-5, somewhere in that range. Has won 4 straight races, 3 of those grade 3s. The water gets deeper today. This is a better field than what he has faced in the past. He also likes
a step up in class, as you like to say.
Look at this.
Look at that. A step up in class.
You're so knowledgeable.
Yes.
He is also likes going 6 furlongs. We're going 6.5 today. That makes a big difference. Last time out, Dr. Venkman was first off the layoff and faced a horse named Nisos. Nisos would be a heavy, 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 heavy favorite in this spot if he was in this race. And I like Dr. Venkman's race. I thought he actually ran very well to stay close to Nisos early, was not able to kick on by, but I don't think anyone in this field would have kicked on by. Now you get the extra half furlong, which has advantaged Dr. Venkman, and you also get second off a layoff. Mark Glatt ships his horse from California to Kentucky to run in this race. You're going to get every bit of that 5-2 price. Give me the number 1, Dr. Venkman, race number 9 at 5-2.
You must really like him because you don't like horses on the rail.
I'm so not.
You must really like him.
I'm not a big rail horse guy.
Yeah, look at that. Look, you must really, really like him. So that's even a further endorsement there. What about race number 11?
Race number 11 is the feature on the day. So this is the Stephen Foster $1 million purse. It's the return of our old friend, Mystic Dan,
there he is.
Cannot stand. This horse has run 2 of the luckiest races I've ever seen in my life. Right to his inside, Sierra Leone, ran 2nd in the Kentucky Derby, won the Breeders' Cup Classic last year. Let's fade them both, and that's why we're going to get a decent price here on the number 2, Mindframe. This is one of the best horses in training. He's a goofball. Last year, he lost 2 races, the Belmont and the Haskell, both grade 1s, because he couldn't run straight. This year, he came out, ran in the Churchill Downs, which is a grade 1 race on the Kentucky Derby undercard, and guess what, Matt?
He won.
He ran straight,
and he won.
And I think this is going to be a great spot for him. Stretch out shouldn't be a problem. Loves the track, 2-for-2 over at Churchill. I think this is going to be a career best effort from Mindframe today. 7-2 right now on the morning line. Number 2, Mindframe. Churchill Downs, race number 11.
You know what? I'll allow that because Skippy Longstocking got scratched.
He did. Skippy Longstocking's out. I actually like the 1-2 Exacta too. Just throw out Mystic Dan and Sierra Leone. Sierra Leone's going to get better as the year goes along. Mystic Dan, he's not good, but he's going to get bet.
And in race 10, if you just want a bonus pick here, me or Mono Ramon.
Yes.
Really?
Actually, top pick.
Hey, look at that. Look at that. There's a bonus pick for you there in race number 10. NFC East Talk. Yes, it's football season here on Ready, Set, Bet.
Set Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sports Bet here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown, Mike Samich. Got a little football talk coming your way because this is what happens about this time of year is when everything stops, we need to start turning our attention to the sports that are coming, you know, down the road. And Mike, you know, we joke, but really it is never too early to start looking at these markets because one, if you start looking at them now, you're looking at them before most people are. Now, serious bettors are definitely doing that. Hell, we walked in here, Tim Murray's leaving with a giant college football, you know, preview book that he said he's reading one of three. Serious bettors are doing that, but most bettors are not. And so you're going to be able to find some numbers, and hopefully we can recognize some of those here over the next few weeks. And we talked about some of those already too, Mike, but you know, you can identify some of these before everyone else starts jumping on the bandwagon, right? Like the content is coming. We're going to be first to market with all of that, by the way, with our NFL preview guide and all of that. But
just 3 days away.
Yeah, the content is going to start coming. And then as soon as the content starts coming, the bets will get tailed, the numbers will move, and then you will have the worst numbers. So hopefully we can identify some stuff here that we want to get into the account today.
Yeah, we saw the first round of movement when we saw the schedule release, right? Mm. And we saw, you know, the Bills number one seed that got bet down in the AFC. We saw specific movement because of the schedule. The next big time we're going to start seeing movement, because it's been pretty stagnant, right, for the last month and a half since that schedule release, is going to be this next month and a half that we're about to partake in right now. And one of those reasons is guides like the VSiN guide coming out on July 1st. They're going to start dropping all over the place. And you're going to see people take some of these opinions and bet them. And you're going to see more of the casual bettor enter the market. So last week or so, I would say, to really try and get the best of the numbers of some of these that are going to be popular bets when you start to see them pop into the books. And I think one of the divisions that's very interesting to me is the NFC East. Because as I dove into the NFC East, I saw a team clearly at the top in the Eagles. No surprise there, right? We're not shocking anybody. Minus 135, I thought, was a little bit too steep to win the division. But one of those where, like, if you like the division winner parlay, they're a team that I'm not afraid to put in there. I think the conference odds at plus 300 are a little bit short. But it's the teams in second and third, the Commanders and the Cowboys, that as I dove in deeper into both of these teams, I'm not sure they're in the right order inside this division.
Okay. So let's start at the bottom then with the Giants, because this is a team that we know is at some point going to turn to Jackson Dart. Now, when that is, we don't really know. I was looking at their schedule, and they are one of those teams with a super late bye, Mike. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if they stick with Russell Wilson all the way out through week 14. I guess you could. And then maybe, you know, it's like, okay, we're going to throw in Dart for the last few games of the season and see what he's about. Maybe they go that direction.
Yeah, maybe. The problem is the schedule is just a bear.
Yeah.
Especially early. I mean, you start at Washington, at Dallas. Okay, you're going to lose both those games. You got Kansas City and the Los Angeles Chargers at home, probably losing both those games. Your only winnable game in my mind, like very winnable game before the bye, is this week five game at New Orleans, but you're on the road. Mm-hmm. Like, do you want to start Jackson Dart there? We're going to hear the Brian Daboll chatter immediately this season about him having a job. And when does that happen? Does that adjust when you see this quarterback come in? We talked a lot about the first five exact record, the last team to win. To me, the Giants team is 100% involved in all of these bets. 6-1 to be have the least wins on the season. You've got the Saints at plus 425, the Browns at plus 400. Those are clearly the three teams I'm thinking about. But this Giants schedule, especially early, is really hard.
That's the thing about this, which is like, so I don't necessarily know from a talent perspective if the Giants are definitely the worst team in the NFL. Not. It's probably the Saints.
Yeah.
And you could start throwing other names around, but like you mentioned, what we're looking at here and from a betting standpoint, and the reason why we said on schedule release night, under on the 5.5 wins as well, we were screaming that from a mountaintop on this Giants team, is because you will have to steal, like they are going to have to steal 3 wins on this schedule. It's not like even coin flip type stuff. Like they are going to have to steal 3 wins because on the road at Washington, on the road at Dallas, then Kansas City, Los Angeles, the Chargers at home, who you and I are pretty big on with all of that. New Orleans is the coin flip, and then it's Philly, Denver, Philly again, San Francisco, Chicago, Green Bay, Detroit, and then New England team that we think certainly by week 13 could be pretty good.
You would think so. The strength of this Giants team is their defense. Like they do have a very good defense with Dexter Lawrence, Brian Burns. They've got Abdul Carter who's going to come in. He's your favorite for defensive rookie of the year right now. Maybe an under team. just one of those where like, I don't trust the offense that much with Russell Wilson. I do think Malik Nabers over longest reception props might be a fun one to load up this year. We did that last year with Pickens when he Russell Wilson was on the Steelers. I think the Malik Nabers over props there could be interesting, but feels like a team that ends up trying to keep games close with their defense and then have one or two big plays on the offensive side.
But I mean, again, it's set at 5.5. We set it on schedule release night. I'll continue to say it right now. Where do six wins come from? I mean, unless two of these teams on this schedule are just exponentially worse than we think they're going to be, there's not six wins on the schedule.
No, and in the games that you would circle as, hey, they could win these games, they're at Las Vegas, right? Mm-hmm. They're at New Orleans. Maybe you could say, like, at Chicago, but like that could be a tough game too. Like there's just not, the easy spots in the home schedule specifically with KC, the Chargers, the Eagles, the 49ers, the Packers. Like this is hard, man.
So you dug in a little bit more and you think that the gap between the Cowboys and the Commanders is not correct.
I do. Like I'm lower on this Commanders team than the mass majority of the market. And I think that's the biggest difference for me. It's not that I think the Cowboys shouldn't be at the 7.5, 8.5 type range. It's that I don't think the Commanders should be a 9.5 win team. And the main reason is, look, there's slight upgrades to the roster. I don't think Debo matters as much as some other people think that Debo matters. And so that to me is not a big part of it. But you look at last year and they just danced through the raindrops in so many football games. I mean, you've got the Hail Mary game against Chicago, but it's these one score games against the New York Giants, one score game against New Orleans Saints, one score game against the Eagles, one score game against the Falcons. They win all of those games. And then you look at their fourth down conversion percentage and the points scored off drives that included a fourth down. It is astronomical and it's almost impossible for them to be able to replicate it. Now, maybe Jaden Daniels is a cheat code and he's the reason you're able to get all of these fourth downs to convert. But you got an offseason to look at them, to figure out this offense. I don't love the defense. I just, there's a lot of chance that we see a similar story to when the Vikings won, went 8-0 in the one score games and the next year regressed. I just can't assume that we're going to see this Commanders team win 10, which is what the market is saying.
Yeah, to play devil's advocate, I think it would only be for me would be what if Dak just isn't Dak anymore after all of these. And you know what I'm saying? Like, and that could be the only, and because if that were to be the case, then there probably is a decent separation between these two teams. If Dak is Dak, however, and the addition of Pickens, and I know all the problems with Pickens and all that, maybe the change of scenery will do him some good. If that's the case, they're much closer than the odds dictate.
Yeah, well, I agree with you. And to me, I'm not betting on the Cowboys. To me, I want to fade the Commanders. I took the Commanders to miss the playoffs at +140. That was my way of trying to push it in there because I do want to have some money against the Commanders just because I do think regression is very possible for this team.
Yeah, I'm all over the Eagles again. I'm the price is what it is. I'm not going to bet it for them to win the division, but you know, I love everything about this team. I mean, I really do. You go in, you look, stud offensive line, the defense, like every single position, green to blue across the board. And if you guys know what I'm talking about, if you're a PFF person like we are, I mean, like everyone on the defense graded out well above average or elite on the defensive side of the ball. And you just got to think here, Mike, I mean, Jalen Hurts, have we even seen the best of him yet? I mean, like maybe he's just even, it's not gonna be this like giant leap for him or anything, but I mean, even if he's 5% better, you know, I mean, it's like, I don't know if we've seen the ceiling for this team.
Well, here's the thing. If you like the Eagles that much, and we agree the Giants are terrible, exact matchups in the NFC East, Eagles 1, Commanders 2 is +160. Eagles 1, Cowboys 2 is +500. You could bet $1,000 on the Eagles over the Commanders at +160 and then come back with $200 Eagles over the Cowboys, and you're getting +140 on the Eagles Commanders exact order.
Yeah, I mean,
with coverage.
Yeah.
I mean, there's ways to try and make money in this division even without playing that minus 135.
Do we think, let's give the bear case here for the Eagles. Is it literally just an injury to Jalen Hurts? I mean, like, what's the...
I don't even know if that's big enough for them to lose this division. Like, yes, obviously, it would be a huge loss for them, right? But they have so much talent on the defensive side. That defense can keep them in games, and you've got Saquon Barkley you can turn around and hand the ball off to.
Yeah, I would bet it. I think that's probably a good way to bet it. Like you just said, we know the Giants are going to be last. Yeah. So like you can just wipe them out. They're not going to come out of nowhere.
At plus 160 and plus 500 for the Commanders in second and the Cowboys in second, you can create a positive portfolio around those two teams.
Like we said, we're going to be first to market with the NFL betting content out there. So go in, VSiN.com/subscribe. Everything we do from now through the Super Bowl for just $175. And again, that includes this betting guide. There are tons and tons of bets and previews and all of that. It is worth the money. It comes out Tuesday, July the 1st. So don't wait. Go in right now, VSiN.com/betting guides or VSiN.com/subscribe and take advantage of all of this. It is worth every single penny.
Introducing the $500 trifecta. Use your GBank Visa Signature credit card within 3 months of account opening and deposit $1,000 at First Bet to trigger your $500 trifecta. GBank across the line with $200 cash back rewards. First Bet is next with a $100 deposit match. Visa completes the trifecta with a free pro limited subscription through October 31st, a $200 value. That's the $500 trifecta. VSiN.com/GBank. This one-time promotion is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis bring you VSiN by the Books, the show that breaks down the biggest stories in sports betting from the night before and gets you up to speed as a new day begins.
Essentially, if St. Louis wins that series, Dave, then you're in a pretty profitable spot to be able to hedge that National League pennant ticket.
If there's one kryptonite for Superman, it's the putter.
Start your day with all the crucial information you need to become a sharper better. Check out VSiN by the Books, weekdays at 7 a.m. Eastern on VSiN. Gear up for football season the sharp way with a VSiN Pro subscription. Right now, grab our football special for just $175, an early bird deal that gives you full VSiN access through the Super Bowl. That includes our NFL betting guide, loaded with team previews, power ratings, and season-long best bets. Plus, pro picks sent to your inbox daily, betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, live shows on the VSiN Watch app, and so much more. Don't wait. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe and join us on the Sports Betting Network. Download the VSiN Watch app to stay plugged into the latest sports betting insights with VSiN's expert analysis, streaming live and on demand. Whether you're at home or on the go, the VSiN Watch app gives you access to every show, every highlight, and every deep dive into the action. Looking for something specific? Use the search feature to find coverage on your favorite teams, matchups, and sport. Exclusively for VSiN Pro subscribers, download the VSiN Watch app today on the App Store or Google Play and join us on the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.